Andrew Holden, good morning.
And good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Media commentator and journalist for more than 30 years, including 5 as the editor of The Press in Christchurch and 4 as editor-in-chief of The Age in Melbourne. What do you want to begin with? This could be an interesting week. Commercial sector certainly has its eyes on what support might come in the first instance quite soon, and also some interesting developments overseas in Australia. Where do you want to begin, Andrew?
I think let's go back over the past week. There are no uninteresting weeks at the moment, but certainly the past 7 days or so has had some really interesting elements to it. The first piece, of course, last week here in New Zealand was the media companies facing up to the Epidemic Response Select Committee, where they gave a lot of detail around their particular woes, the difficulties they have, obviously some commentary around Facebook and Google and the use by government of advertising money to go to those tech giants. And a nice comment that really encapsulated it by my predecessor on your show, Gavin Ellis, who said we need to buy time. We can't recraft the ecosystem if there's nothing left to recraft. So in terms of what that might mean, the communications minister, Chris Farfoy, has given some pretty clear direction that the media companies can expect some initiatives. It looks like he's talking about bringing forward government advertising to those companies and also looking at transmission costs. And if they're suspended, that could be for the likes of MediaWorks and TV3 a saving of millions of dollars. So there's some hope on the horizon, which then takes us across the ditch, as you mentioned, to Australia. So the Australian government last week announced a couple of elements to support media there. They've done a 12-month waiver of spectrum tax for commercial television and radio broadcasters. That'll save them about $41 million. And they've announced $50 million to invest in regional journalism, not in the major ones in the capital cities, but certainly to support the country newspapers. Interestingly, there, some comments by an independent group called the Public Interest Journalism Initiative suggesting that there should be a public advertising campaign of around $100 million, similar to what Farfoy is suggesting here. But also another really interesting idea of making local news subscriptions tax deductible as a temporary support for media organisations, newspapers and magazines, whatever that might be. So some hints from Australia or some direction that could be followed here. And then the final element, and a very interesting one, was the development earlier this week that the Australian federal government has ordered its competition watchdog to develop a mandatory code of conduct, which will mean that tech giants like Google and Facebook will have to pay news media businesses for the content they produce. They looked initially at a voluntary, decided a voluntary agreement would never work, so they're going to make it mandatory and force it through penalties or sanctions to insist the tech giants actually pay the Australian media companies for the content they produce. And potentially something that Farfoy's, or a spokesman for him, has said that New Zealand would look at something, a similar scheme here. So there's a really interesting opportunity there, I think.
Well, that's part of the longer term, or medium term, if there is one, picture, isn't it? Yeah. It because we all know that by every measure, the use of the journalism of both commercial and the public media at the moment is through the roof. By every measure and on every platform. And right as that is happening, the commercial media's revenue is tanking. So does there make sense in New Zealand piggybacking straight on to what Australia is doing? I'm curious as to how they enforce it, Andrew.
Well, that's right. I mean, presumably they're confident that they'll have the abilities for a business operating in Australia to hit them with the penalties or, as I say, the sanctions. I don't quite know what a sanction would look like for the likes of Google. You're going to turn off Google on computers in Australia seems unlikely. But as far as New Zealand's concerned, it means the Australians, if you like, can do the hard policy work to figure out how that might operate that we could then adopt here. But you're absolutely right. I mean, fundamentally, the business model for mainstream media has been broken.
We may have just dropped out. Andrew Holden is our media commentator.
I'm still talking. Can you hear me now?
Editor of the Christchurch Press and also spent 4 years as editor-in-chief of The Age in Melbourne, 30 years as a journalist. We are talking about some of the developments of this week. I cannot hear him, no.
And
Andrew,
hopefully
keep speaking.
Catherine,
I have just dropped out here.
No, that's all right. I'm still here. So I think the reality is that, and we've known this for a number of years, is that the business model for mainstream media is broken, and media companies need to rethink that and how they're going to operate in the future world. So at best, whatever the government does here through the communications minister buys some time for local media to understand where they might go. And there have been a number of different things happening over the past week in terms of how those models might look. We've now seen Stuff announced that it's going to use Press Patron, which invites readers of Stuffwork to make contributions, donations, if you like. It's been a very successful model used by The Guardian. There's been talk of Substack as a clever online process to bring subscriptions in for media companies as well. And ironically, we've even seen the likes of the Google News Initiative, Google announcing that it will supply money as an emergency relief fund. And Facebook, surprise, surprise, has pledged $100 million to assist news outlets. You'd think they'll predominantly go to America. So there's certainly some options, but there's no doubt that fundamentally for the media industry, they're going to have to rethink how they'll survive.
Okay, we're reconnected, Andrew. Sorry, I just got my trusty I got my trusty little transistor out that I've been giving a hammering to, but we are reconnected again. Could we look a little bit more about this government approach here? $100 million Australian government pumped into its media. Is that anything like the proportionate scale being expected in one and possibly two tranches? Do we know where they're heading with this stuff and how much relief what we are expecting will bring?
No, we don't. I mean, there's talk from the communications minister of bringing forward government advertising. That's not suggesting that he's going to substantially increase it. They're just going to spend it soon. And his intent here is to give them some cash flow and, as you said, certainty for the next 6 to 12 months, certainly for broadcasters. If they can waive the transmission fee, that gives them a number of millions of dollars that they can utilise to keep themselves afloat. So there'll be amounts. I'm not going to speculate on what the total amount will be. It certainly won't be as high as Australia because of the difference in the economies. But it should be enough to give them some idea of reduced costs or increased revenue that will allow, they'll buy them some time to think about what they might be like in 6 to 12 months' time.
All right. What else do you see? We've seen the Dominion Post saying it is now actually at the point of asking for donations to its journalism, and sounds like there's been an immediate response to that. But what is that indicating about where Stuff is at?
Well, I think at this point it's fair to say that they need to turn to any possible revenue source. So government support, whether that's through revenue or reducing of costs, is simply part of it. We've seen the ongoing pressure put on them. Journalists in many organisations asked to take pay cuts. The executives, as you would expect, taking substantial pay cuts. They need to try that as well. And certainly moving towards the likes of Press Patron, encouraging people to contribute amounts as opposed to setting yourself up for a 12-month subscription, if you like, but to make a donation of $100 or $50, whatever you can afford, has certainly worked extremely well for The Guardian. And they were able to announce in the past 12 months that they're finally back in the black and they're making a profit, which is a remarkable achievement by that international group.
The other matter that's unresolved is that RNZ-TVNZ merger, it was barely addressed at the Select Committee, wasn't it? And with all that's going on at the moment, is it a sense that any plan to perhaps have a proposal out before the election, possibly to take to the election, might now be delayed, just given everything that's going on? Do you have any sense or any updated information?
I was interested that TVNZ chief executive, I took it as a hint that he was leaning towards it and that he could see the combined organisation not having that that advertising element to it, and that would be a good thing for the broader media ecosystem. In some respects, my feeling is this should accelerate the development of that business case, because that does give you long-term assurance, particularly if you're somebody like MediaWorks and you have a sense that within 12 months or 2 years' time, TVNZ will not be accepting substantial advertising. That gives you some hope. So my feeling would be the pressure should go on, that if the business case stacks up, then push hard, because so much of the commentary, isn't it, is that we'll not return to the same world that we were in when we went into lockdown. And so we need to think about what a new New Zealand looks like beyond this, and that could absolutely be part of it.
The problem is getting the settings right. As you said, there's a heck of a difference depending on which model you choose, and with government as busy as it is at the moment, whether that is whether it's feasible to have it resolved anyway before the election. Look, they are tough times. We are expecting that announcement in the next week or so for that first tranche of support for the commercial media anyway. Thank you so much, as always, Andrew Holden, our media commentator. Sorry, listeners, we just had a bit of a dropout there for me in the middle of that. That is the joy of using a pretty amazing little system from home, actually, that every now and then something goes a bit bung.